engines or tanks that they substitute? What is it? Is
well,
it
it's their type and make or manufacturer, they'll say, of English make.
Oh, I see.
Which English made engines, who studied engines, train engines, steam engines, you can easily distinguish an English made engine from an American made engine. Mm-hmm. And of course those used in Spain, well, you can easily distinguish those just by the general outline of the engine, because they are so differently constructed and so forth in our American type engine. You take as a whole the old American type engines, they were manufactured and made for long hauls and high service. Well, in that country, several miles there would be equivalent to several hundreds of miles in our nation, traveling on rail and so forth years ago. And our engines were more heavily and a differently type constructed engine. Of course, not on the same design, but yet again, you can tell the difference in construction. One thing from the front appearance, you know, we had the old engine, they had the cow catchers and all these other types, and English made engines, they were constructed differently on the front. And one most sure thing is the whistle and so forth. We don't use a tone whistle to ever use on American engines at all.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference in these foreign engines, the English engines, they have whistles which we'll call more or less like popcorn machine whistles. Just a whistle with no tones. American engineer, early American railroad engineers, he took pride in his whistle. Most people who lived up and down the line could distinguish his engine from others by the tone and sound of his whistle. They have a melodious type whistle. Maybe some would have them a special bill. But the foreign engines, they never went for that. They just have one simple type whistle. Kind of like a popcorn machine, we used to call it, or a peanut machine whistle, or something like that. Just a whistle. That's all it is. They didn't go for tone and class with them like the Americans. Mm-hmm. And it made a great difference.
I had never thought of that.
And the American steamboat on the rivers, most ever boats had a different tone and whistle. I gave to the library up here 2 years ago, mad in the front yard. The huge whistle out of it. It covered off a sunken boat that was sunk for over 100 years here in the river. And I covered the whistle and a huge anchor mounted in front of the library, in front of the yards, which makes a nice display. But every steamboat whistle on the Mississippi, more or less, in those days were different. People up and down the river, they could recognize the boat lying in bed at night, listen to the whistle. As to what the boat was, because they knew the whistles up and down the river. And each one had a different signal he'd blow, maybe two longs and two shorts, or one long and two shorts, or whatnot. And with that type whistle, they all knew what boat it was, and they'd never see it. They could recognize the whistle, the sound of the whistle.
Yeah.
And they'd go in for musical tones, you know, and work down a certain tone that they liked.
Yeah, that's the Old West is another thing that has intrigued me, although I haven't read about it very much. I think the Time Life people have a series of books on the Old West.
Yes, I have some of them.
Is that right?
Yes, I've always enjoyed reading about the West.
Oh, yeah.
This is one series here. The Indians. I was always a student of Custer's history. I always liked Custer. I got interested in Custer when I was a kid. One Saturday, we were looking at an old movie theater.
Well, did Custer get a bad deal from, his reputation as an incompetent?
Well, they called him a glory hunter. Even during the Civil War, when he was coming up through the ranks in the Civil War, Custer was always looking